Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. And welcome to this particular day of worship when we mark All Saints' Day. This is a time that we name that our faith community, the body of Christ, stretches back through time and forward into the future. And we are members of one another in Christ, members of a company of saints whose belonging transcends and reaches beyond the boundaries of time and death. With this in mind, I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to number 14, the blue hymnal, Come, We That Love the Lord.
Please stand.
Zion, the beautiful city of God. And the prophet Isaiah had the vision of this city. And on that mountain vision, he saw a banquet, a supper, a feast of rich food. And he looked and he saw that it was a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food filled with marrow, the most desirable, the well-aged wine strained clear, a feast for for all peoples. And on that mountain, Isaiah saw that God will destroy death. That shroud that is cast over all peoples, that sheet which is spread over all nations, and God will swallow up death forever. Death itself, the great swallower, is swallowed up. As Paul said, death swallowed up in victory. And then Isaiah saw that the Lord God would wipe the tears from all faces, and the disgrace, the inadequacies, the lostness, and the brokenness of the people will be taken away. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Let us pray. Rejoicing in salvation, one family, we dwell in you, God. One church, above, beneath, though now divided by the stream, divided by the narrow stream of death. But behold, there is a new heaven seen by the prophets of old, a new earth and a new city where the river of life flows, where the tree of life bears fruit in every season. This heaven, this city, this river, this tree are a vision of life, reborn, restored, and renewed. Amen. Let us now turn in your hymnal to 323, Beyond a Dying Sun.
enter our time of confession, I invite you to turn to number 29 in the green, Sing the Journey. You are all we have. The instruments will play through once, and then we'll sing this three times. Let this time be a time of surrender to God. Our lives are in God's hands.
And may we now, in confession, indeed place our lives, our stories, our journeys, our cares, our brokenness, our hurts, our anxieties, into the gentle hands of God. Let us pray. God of life, and death, and life beyond death. Today we see how fragile life is, how weak and how short our time is. We confess that there are times when we have not believed or trusted in your power and your love. Lord, help our unbelief. We are stained, marred in our souls, stained by our actions and by our inaction. You call us to speak, but we are silent. You require us to do what is just, but we are afraid. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken, bruised by our own sin and sometimes the sins of others. Unable to repair ourselves or to fix our lives. Unremembered wounds that we have inflicted, and then the injuries that we cannot forget. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you and are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. Have mercy on us, your muddling, faithless servants, and forgive us. Ground us, Lord. Plant us in you. And now, in a moment of silence, let us confess to God those brokennesses and weaknesses and losses that arise in our own hearts right now. And hear the good news. Nothing in death or life can separate us from the love of God. We are loved. We are accepted. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand now for the words of assurance, beginning with the words from Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews written by a mysterious unknown author. Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely and look to Jesus in penitence and faith. Jesus Christ broke the power of evil, putting death to flight through resurrection from the dead, giving us new life and new birth and new hope and an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Alleluia. So with hope and joy, let us extend the peace of Christ to each other, saying, peace of Christ be with you and also.
Welcome. If you have money, you can put it in the basket for those people that need help. If you don't have money, just touch the basket as a blessing. Thank you. How many of you know what heaven is? What's heaven like? Or what is it?
Can you say that again?
Where God takes people up to sky when they're dead.
Okay. What did you say?
God.
It's okay. It's a place where God is. Anyone else? Want a shot? It's where other people are. Right. Well, it's where God takes people. Uh-huh.
God takes people when they be good.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of different, what?
Look beyond the world.
It's a place where you can look beyond the world? Oh, it looks beyond the world. Okay. There are a lot of different ideas of what heaven is. What we do know about heaven, though, is that it is a place where God is. It's a place that is good, and it's a place that's beautiful. In scriptures, we hear that heaven will have streets of gold. For some people, they think, gold is so beautiful, why not make streets out of it? I know a man who had a vision that he was going to heaven, and heaven was filled with rolling hills that were green, and it was so peaceful, just very, very green. And I know another woman who had a dream that she went to heaven, and she saw Jesus, and behind Jesus, there was a whole group of people, and she recognized all of them. They were aunts and uncles and friends and some of her children from school, people who had died, and she knew them, and she was re-seeing them again for the first, since they had died.
But that's not
That was a place where people went after they died. Uh-huh. Yeah. And today we hear in the scriptures that we'll read that heaven is a place where there are no tears. Heaven is something that we don't really know what it is until we get there. But while we're here on earth, we try and imagine what it could be like so that we can keep aiming to love other people and so that we kind of get a sense of what heaven is like. Because heaven is, again, it's a good place and it's a beautiful place where God is and where love is. So remember that in the coming week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are filled with love and grace, and you are in places that are hurting, but you also prepare a place for us that is peaceful and beautiful and good. I ask that you will help us remember the goodness and beauty that you hold, and the goodness and beauty that we strive to be. Lead us and direct us in the way that will allow us to connect with more goodness and more beauty and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Apocalypse, capítulo 21, versículos 1 a 6a. Vi entonces un cielo nuevo y una tierra nueva, porque el primer cielo y la primera tierra habían dejado de existir, y el mar tampoco existía ya. Vi también que la ciudad santa, la nueva Jerusalén, descendía del cielo de Dios, ataviada como una novia que se adorna para su esposo.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away."
Entonces oí que desde el trono salía una potente voz, la cual decía: "Aquí está el tabernáculo de Dios con los hombres. Él vivirá con ellos y ellos serán su pueblo. Y Dios mismo estará con ellos y será su Dios. Dios enjugará las lágrimas de los ojos de ellos y ya no habrá muerte, ni más llanto, ni lamento, ni dolor, porque las primeras cosas habrán dejado de existir."
And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end."
El que estaba sentado en el trono dijo, "Mira, ya hago nuevas todas las cosas." Y me dijo, "Escribe, porque estas palabras son fieles y verdaderas." También me dijo, Ya está hecho. Yo soy el Alfa y la Omega, el principio y el fin.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
La palabra del Señor. Gracias.
And we now invite Paul Aquilo, our preacher today, to come forward. Paula is on the staff at Mennonite Mission Network. She is a servant of the Lord. She is mother to two, grandmother to six, great-grandmother to two, and she is a sister and friend of this congregation. Let us pray. May the words of Paula's mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and the presence of the great cloud of witnesses be delightful to you, our rock and salvation. Amen. Thank you.
As Francis has so eloquently shared already this morning, we are celebrating All Saints' Day today. Thinking about that cloud of witnesses who has gone before us, but also I would invite many who are with us right now who point us toward God and toward a life of faith every day. In the New Testament, there are 62 references to saints, and Paul even said directly that the church is full of God's saints. So, where are God's saints? How could this be? Saints on earth, not just in heaven? Well, this celebration began when the early church was, I wouldn't say celebrating, but marking the martyrs of the faith. But the church moved from being a persecuted body into one of being the state religion. And so there weren't as many martyrs. But there were, though, many people who served as an example to their community without the sacrifice of death. I would offer living lives of sacrificial love. So what makes a saint a saint? We, of course, often offer those who have led faithful lives, who serve as an example to all of us, but who have gone ahead of us into eternity. People like Sister Teresa or Menno Simons might come to mind. But Scripture says that we are saints also because of God's continuing presence among us. It is God who is intimately and fully holy. It is God who came in the flesh and still dwells among us in the midst of God's people. God is present throughout eternity in our community of faith. And what makes us holy is not what we do, but that presence of God among us. Are we willing to claim it? In our reading today, God's voice thunders. Really, the scripture, it thunders. See, I am making all things new. God is making us a promise. It proclaims boldly, be patient, for God is not finished with us yet. As people who live in a world that often values perfection, we forget that saintliness is less about perfection than it is about transformation. We who are God's saints on earth are called to allow the holy presence of God to be the transforming influence of our lives. We often are busy trying to arrive, but then we miss the point. Because it's actually the journey that counts. For me, this transformational journey began in 1980 when I met Pastor Marilyn Miller. I had been away from church for many, many years, and a friend invited me to a service at Arvada Mennonite Church. It was a congregation much like this one. People were very warm and friendly, and I felt pretty comfortable. And then it was time for the sermon, and a woman stood up to preach, a woman who could have been my mother, who was pretty plain, didn't have a lot of flash or flourish, but it was as though she were speaking straight to me. There was no one else present. I was hearing God's voice through Marilyn. So I claim Marilyn as my saint because I have been leading a transformational life from that day forward. Marilyn is an inside-out person. Again, nothing flashy on the outside, but a life full of God's sacrificial love. Today, on this day when we remember All Saints, God is inviting all of us to be the clay in the hands of the potter, to enable God's holy presence in our midst to continue to shape our lives and our faith as his saints here on earth today. As Christian saints, we are called to live this kind of inside-out life. With Jesus as our guide, there's always more than can be seen on the outside. One day at work, I asked our dear friend James Crable, who's a missiologist, "So James, I've read a lot of the books you've written and other people, but who actually started the modern mission movement?" And he went, "Well, it might have been Irene Weaver." So I needed to do some more study to find out about Irene Weaver. She is one of my saints now, too. Definitely an inside-out person. In the course of her 103 years of service to the church, she experienced all the phases of Mennonite mission history. She was born to a missionary family in India in 1910. Just 11 years after this congregation was part of sending the first missionaries to India. In 1935, she married Ed, and the mission board then asked them as a couple to return to India to serve. And one day, as she was puttering around her house, she overheard one of the Indian women who worked with her say to someone else that living in a white person's house must be like being in heaven. Irene was mortified. "Those words burn shame into my soul," she said. "I began to question many things about my presence there. I decided my strategy for work in a foreign country would be very different from anything I had experienced so far." The Weavers began to realize that Western mission had encumbered Mennonites in India with colonial structures that hampered them from being fully God's people. It was like we had put Saul's armor on David. The Indian church couldn't move, nor could it find its own way of doing things. "We could have saved the church in India a lot of heartache," Weaver said. In 1959, the mission agency asked the Weavers to respond to a request from 50 Africa-initiated churches in Nigeria. They wanted to create a Mennonite denomination there after hearing the Mennonite radio hour from Liberia. And so when the Weavers arrived, they noted that there were 225 congregations from 40 denominations within a 5-mile radius of where they were going to live. And they decided adding a 41st denomination was probably not a good idea. And so they position themselves as learners, struggling to understand what a truly autonomous African-initiated church could be for God's people. And they faced a lot of opposition, both from the other mission agencies there and also from the African-initiated churches themselves. But as things got sorted out, the Mennonite Board of Missions ended up sending 54 workers to Nigeria. But instead of claiming that they were starting something new, they worked alongside the churches that were already there in hospitals, in schools, in service agencies. This was the first example of the modern mission as presence in partnership that has become the primary mode of operation for Mennonite Mission Network today. And it all was started because of one of God's saints, Irene Weaver. Who have been saints for you in your life? You've probably been thinking about this quite a bit already this morning. People both living and passed on whose actions and inside-out faithfulness pointed you toward the love of God. These saints likely have lived simple lives, doing the best they could in the circumstances where God had placed them. After the sermon and the hymn of response, we're each going to have the opportunity to come forward and light a candle in memory of such a person. Or are you hearing a different invitation this morning? Are you hearing an invitation to recommit your life to being an inside-out faithful saint of the church? Are you hearing an invitation to get back on that journey toward new life? I invite you to consider lighting a candle to commemorate that as well. We heard in our scripture this morning about things passing away. It has a very different definition in our Revelation text than it does to us. In Revelation, when things pass away, that means they disappear or go away. It's not dying, but actually the death of dying. This strange inside-out world says that the first or former things will pass away, death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. The first heaven and the first earth will pass away, and the world where death is will pass away. This will bring about God's new world. Our scripture says that the holy city, the new Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven. The new world will be here with us, God among us, a presence among us, saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples." This vision of the future encompasses human beings and the world itself. God is the creator. Every creature in heaven and on earth will praise God and the Lamb for the life that they will bring. Right now, death is real for those of us whom God has created. Yet in Christ, there is also the promise of resurrection. Resurrection is a new act of creation. Resurrection is a promise of a new existence, a transformed existence. This is what our scripture envisions for the new world itself. God, in his restless wisdom and will to redeem, holds out the promise of making us and our world new. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The existence, the world's existence, and our own existence are framed by the presence of God. All Saints' Day provides a moment to remember that death is real for those we love and for ourselves, but it also provides the occasion to recall that death is not final. In God, walking the journey of being inside out in Jesus holds the future promise of new life. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Amen.
After that, to you. Come down and join us for coffee. Check your bulletin for Sunday school classes. And now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless us,
protect us from all evil,
and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.